This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We love taking you around the globe, one country at a time. I'm Matt, and even in these times of physical distancing, I'm joined remotely on the Worldwide Wave panel tonight by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hi there.
And Stefan.
Hello. If you've been to Singapore before, you'll know that it is a clean, modern city-state with great shopping. It even has a rainbow district with nightclubs and services for the LGBTI community and visitors. But many will be surprised that Singapore is still a country that criminalizes male same-sex relations under the British colonial era sodomy law, section 377A.
Singapore's High Court has rejected the latest bid to rule this law unconstitutional and delivered a somewhat offensive ruling. To bring us an update on how the court ruling has been received in Singapore's LGBTI community, tonight we're joined by longtime friend of the show and proud Joy organisational member, Yong Fau Liao, from Ugachaga Counselling Service. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
I can say, and I know this for a fact, many of us in the community here in Singapore, I think, were very offended by this particular statement. You mentioned surprise. Well, I don't think people were surprised at the ruling. I don't think people were surprised at Justice of the High Court making statements like these. But the tone and the language, as you mentioned, it was just very moralistic and proselytizing. I think that's a nice word as well. I think we just felt really offended.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
The fight to decriminalise homosexuality in Singapore has been a constant struggle across decades for the local LGBTI community. Despite public protests like the annual Pink Dot event, approaches to Parliament and court challenges, the infamous Section 377A sodomy laws remain firmly in place, even though they're rarely enforced. Yong Fau Liao is the Executive Director of Ugachaga, the LGBTI Counselling Service in Singapore. We asked Yong Fau to start by giving us an overview of what's happened in the High Court.
So in Singapore, in the Penal Code of the Republic of Singapore, there's something called the Section 377A, and it's literally just a three-liner in our legislation. So Section 377A, the subheading is Outrages on Decency. This is what it says. Any male person who, in public or private, commits or abets the commission of or procures or attempts to procure the commission by any male person of any act of gross indecency with another male person shall be punished with imprisonment for a term which may extend to 2 years. So basically, Section 377A of the Penal Code criminalizes consensual adult male behavior in public and in private. So the latest three cases that challenged the constitutionality of this 377A was heard by the High Court judge in November last year. The judge published his judgment, and this came about in a big part because when India read down their 377A back in September 2018, it kind of gave the community in Singapore kind of an impetus to do this again. And I say again because the last time we in Singapore attempted to mount two judicial constitutional challenges in 2010. It resulted in 2014 in the Court of Appeal basically dismissing those two cases as well. So between 2014 and 2018, 2019, those two attempts have been mounted by the community. So that's how it came about. So the latest development, this ruling by the High Court on the 30th of March, kind of in a way a combination of that.
In this latest ruling, Justice Si Ki-un, and I'm directly quoting here, said Sections 377A serves the purpose of safeguarding public morality by showing societal moral disapproval of male homosexual acts. Now, when I first read this, I was first shocked, and then I was angry that there was this proselytising from the High Court. Did that language surprise you or concern you?
Matt, I'm glad you kind of expressed your anger and at this, because I might go a step further. I can say, and I know this for a fact, many of us in the community here in Singapore, I think, were very offended by this particular statement. You mentioned surprise. Well, I don't think people were surprised at the ruling. I don't think people were surprised at Justice of the High Court making statements like these. But the tone and the language, as you mentioned, it is just, well, very moralistic and proselytizing. I think that's a nice word as well. I think we just felt really offended. And I felt offended as well that, you know, this is what somebody decided to say about us.
So how has it been received by the, you know, your friends and people? How's it being talked about on the streets
people
in the community?
People are angry. People have been offended. Again, put into perspective, this is not the first time we have gone through a massive disappointment like this. So from what I sense, I don't think people are surprised at another dismissal, but the tone and the language used in the report and the phrasing of the ruling, I think it made people feel very angry and offended and heartbroken, certainly. And perhaps it might even be fair to say it's hard to see where to go from here.
Religion plays a key part of life in Singapore. It's a reasonably dominant part. But for the judiciary to make an assessment of morality still seems a stretch for a country. It blew me away.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really think that this code needs to go, well, it probably has gone viral, I don't know, but I believe it needs to be on stickers and, you know, bumper stickers and T-shirts and to have that judge's name put to it as a code. It just smacks off. Yeah, I think personally, a rather inappropriate thing to say. And yes, the moralistic tone of it. In Singapore, I mean, you mentioned, to be fair, as a country, we pride ourselves in being multi-religious and multi-ethnic as well. And yet, we have a secular state. The Constitution of the Republic of Singapore is proudly a non-religious, secular one.
Your organisation, Ooga Chugga, put out a post on social media, which I tip my hat to you. You said that you praised the three men. They said they had not failed in their challenge. They have shown us what strength and courage looks like against the odds. Is that the story of the fight for equality in Singapore?
Thank you for bringing it up and acknowledging that, Matt, because it was kind of a response. I think one of the national news outlets kind of had in there, I think it might have been a headline or in the story itself, along the lines of, you know, the three men kind of failed in their challenges against 377A. And I thought, hang on a minute, how is it that we are using such language to describe what just happened? Because it takes an awful, awful, and I know all three men personally, and I, again, just to give them the due credit that they deserve, I do want to name them. So Brian Chung, who happens to be the former executive director of Ooga Chugga, and Roy Tan, who himself is a retired general practitioner, and of course, Johnson Ong, Brian, Roy, and Johnson. I think we, as in the LGBTQ plus community in Singapore, we owe a great debt to them. They did what they had to do, not for themselves, on behalf of the community.
That's Yung Fah Liao, Executive Director of Singapore's LGBTI Counselling Service, Ooga Chugga, with us on Joy 94.9. I have to say, and it sort of came out in the questions there, that I was a bit angry by this judgment. Not that they lost, not that the law didn't change, but the way the judge brought morality, this idea of morality, into the court. So the direct quote, section 377A serves the purpose of safeguarding public morality by showing societal moral disapproval of male homosexual acts. Do you think he has the right to do that from a court point of view?
Well, Singapore is not a rights-based democracy. It's not a democracy. And I mean, they still have the death penalty, they still have capital punishment. There are a few particular groups of people in Singapore, and the reason that they've been so successful in coronavirus, or at least they were initially, is because they could enforce quite draconian powers. So I think that's what the law is about. I mean, the law is about morals in its current framing, and how it was adopted from the Dear Brits. And it's not they don't have a rights-based framework in Singapore at the present time. So I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that you're surprised.
I'm partially, as I said, I'm not surprised that it didn't go through. I'm just angry that it seems to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's this crossover between religion and state, and I guess maybe we're used to the fact that there's a separation. I mean, I don't think you would find that sort of ruling ever in Australia, whereby they would, quote some sort of religious-based morality. Singapore has always been one of those countries that has baffled me, because you can go there, I've been to the gay nightclubs there, I've enjoyed my time in Singapore, but then they have these really draconian, well and truly outdated laws that weren't even theirs. The laws were bought in by England. I can't see why they wouldn't want to get rid of it.
Steph, I mean, you go out this part of the world sometimes. Do you think that economics has got something to do with how our attitudes and our expectations of Singapore are different than they might be in other countries in Asia?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Singapore is a very significant trading partner.
Yeah.
We maybe expect different things of Singapore.
I don't know. I mean, every time I go to Singapore, I'm very aware that it's probably very similar to a police state, and I'm very careful. And it kind of doesn't surprise me that it went this way because of everything else in the society. It's quite a difficult question.
And one we will find out some more with our guest tonight, Yung Fah Liao. In fact, coming up, we will find out what is next in their fight to decriminalise homosexuality in Singapore. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Costa Gavrilidis, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
94.9 and streaming worldwide at joy.org.au. Even though we are currently broadcasting outside of the studios, you can still message us via Facebook. That's World Wide Wave, or W3Joy on Facebook. And in fact, throughout the week, we've had a few messages come through. We had some lovely comments from Peter Williams about last week's show, our special for International Trans Day of Visibility. Pete says, loving the show. We also had some comments from the group LGBTQ Tourism Asia. We shared they're doing a study on enhancing the visibility of the transgender travellers in the tourism industry, and inviting any trans people who have travelled through Asia to share their stories. They thanked us for sharing, and they've also promised to come on the show and tell us about the results when that's done. So go to our Facebook page, W3Joy or Worldwide Wave on Facebook, and you can find out more about that study.
Tonight we're speaking with Yung Fah Liao from Singapore LGBTI Counselling Service, Ooga Chugga. Yung Fah has been singing the praises of the three community members who took their challenge to Singapore's High Court. All the three have since announced they will take their challenge further to the Court of Appeal. And we ask Yung Fah if this gave him and the local LGBTI community some inspiration.
Inspiring is one thing. I think if anything, it shows, it reminds us in the community, maybe it reminds the rest of Singapore, hopefully it reminds the world as well, that no, this little red dot is capable of producing heroes. Heroes who have that strength and courage to do things like that. What's that often used kind of cliche, not all heroes wear capes? Well, I would consider these six men heroes in their own right.
They wear rainbow flags.
Yeah.
Now, it's also come at a time when the world is going through extreme challenges. So COVID-19, Singapore was one of the early countries and one of the countries that was praised early on as well for their response. Tell us a bit about, for Ooga Chugga, you provide counselling and support services to the LGBTI community, which are vital at a time like this. Tell us about how COVID-19 is affecting and changing your service.
So a big part of our service provision, service delivery, is counselling services. So primarily we have a lot of contact with clients in our professional face-to-face counselling services. So that's a good old-fashioned people coming to our office on an appointment basis. We provide face-to-face professional support. Additionally, we also provide anonymous and confidential hotline, telephone hotline, WhatsApp and email counselling services. So that is a pretty significant bulk of our service provision to the community. Additionally, we also work with the community on community engagement programs. We also engage with our allies and partners in the corporate community as well, corporate engagement. And of course, we also run professional workshops. So with what's been happening with the COVID pandemic here in Singapore and all over the world as well, we've had to all do things differently. So for example, just over the weekend, we have made a decision as a result of our latest government measures announced to suspend our face-to-face counseling service. So that's been a decision that had to be made, but of course still difficult, not just for us as counselors as well, as an organization, a counseling organization, but certainly a decision that's going to be difficult for our face-to-face counseling clients as well, because for many of us who either deliver counseling services or receive counseling services, I mean that face-to-face contact is so crucial, that the rapport that we build with our clients, and I speaking here as a counselor myself, so thinking of ways to do that differently or even to cancel the face-to-face appointment, that's not easy. Thankfully, we are still able to continue our WhatsApp and email counseling services. So again, we are so thankful, absolutely thankful for our volunteers who have basically stepped up to say, yes, they're prepared to do this from home, because that really helps in service provision continuity as well. Unfortunately, we're not able to continue our telephone hotline service because in the office, we have the good old-fashioned telephone landline, which we're not able to kind of divert to our volunteers. So that's been a pretty significant impact on how we do things. As an organization, we do want to be able to continue providing support through our email and WhatsApp counseling services. And just not thinking of some of the clients who have come back to us and sharing about what's been going on with them. So, I mean, people who connect with us for emotional support often have issues going on in their lives, and often that involves a certain amount of anxiety, depression, you know, relationship issues, mental health, sexual health, or identity and sexuality concerns. And when an international crisis like COVID happens, it kind of adds on to those very uncertain, difficult feelings. And of course, with changes in how we are providing our service as well, with the suspension of our face-to-face service, that kind of exacerbates certain pre-existing concerns. So we do want to try our best to see how we can continue our clients through online means.
Have you noticed people are moving into isolation from friends and family and routine? Have you noticed an upswing in calls? Are people seeking that connection through you?
Well, it's been gradual. It hasn't really happened overnight, but yes, certainly. And again, that point about social isolation, for some of our service users who already, for whatever reason, maybe due to age or disability or certain social, financial circumstances, are perhaps already financially or socially isolated, the orders to stay at home might exacerbate that. So they might call more often and reach out to us and then hope to get more frequent support. We also seen some new clients on, whether it's on email or WhatsApp, saying how, you know, they've been kind of doing okay so far, but maybe because their face-to-face counseling session has been cancelled, or because every week the government has been making announcements on new tighter measures, it's kind of, for some, kind of triggered certain anxieties as well. So yes, not an abrupt kind of peak in incoming volume, but certainly people are more aware and gradually feeling more anxious, and perhaps even for some feeling more helpless as well. So with that taken away, we want to try to do what we can alternatively. Perhaps at some point we might consider, you know, opening up more virtual online spaces, and that's where we as a team of staff and volunteers have to figure out how to use technology and creating more safe, queer-friendly online spaces to continue engaging with our community.
Tonight on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, we're speaking to Yung Fa Liao from the Ugachaga Counselling Service in Singapore.
I think that there's also, I think what was interesting as well was the when you ask about, you know, moving the counselling online and all this, and as we know, there's already quite been, you know, a little bit of an increase in mental health issue in some people, so having that and trying to really try to pick up on that is probably a good thing.
Yeah, and I think when we get not great news on and we hear that at the time, and when we hear a message like that this hasn't been successful at this particular point in time, I think one of the things that he's saying when he's speaking to you, Matt, is we need to be careful about how we portray the facts on the way. This is not a failure. There will be another court to go to, and we've got a lot of mental distress out there from people who are already feeling discrimination and now in self-isolation. We need to think how we present that, and I don't think it's being unrealistic to say that there is absolutely still hope.
Absolutely, and that really came through with all three of the complainants in this case have already come forward and said they will take it forward to the next stage, the High Court of Singapore. So we will keep an eye on that. Coming up on Joy 94.9, we're going to talk a bit more about COVID-19 and particularly how it's changing our understanding of community in Singapore. This is World Wide Wave.
Hi, this is Janne, Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
A special hello to all those people listening to us on podcasts. You can subscribe either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes, Spotify or any other platform you favour.
And where there's a chance to leave a review, make sure you leave one.
Tonight we have been speaking with Yung Fa Liao from Ugachaga Counselling Service in Singapore. They have had to adjust the way they deliver the services due to COVID-19 restriction, just as their Rainbow Community clients have been making adjustments to their everyday lives. We asked Yung Fa if he felt this whole experience was changing the meaning of community for the LGBTI community.
I suppose yes and no. I suppose we kind of had this coming in that, you know, the definition of community. I mean, for the longest time, we've talked about the existence of online communities, how safe they are, how secure they are, how anonymous some of them are as well, and how we relate to things differently. If anything, with this latest pandemic crisis, it's just forced us to kind of maybe redefine and reevaluate what we mean, not just what we mean by community, but how we engage. And when you think about it, you know, some people may be able to do it better than others. So in this time of change and flux, some people will cope better than others. And I think really is our, and I say our meaning all of us in the community, our combined collective responsibility to look out for those who may struggle to connect with technology, for example, to engage with online spaces. And I'm thinking of perhaps older persons, for example, in a Singapore context, older persons who may be less comfortable or less able to use technology, or persons with certain learning needs, special needs, disabilities that may present a barrier to them accessing technology. And for whatever reason, people who just don't have a strong, stable Wi-Fi connection, some of the things that some of us kind of take for granted.
So what's your tip for getting through this? What are you telling your clients?
I was just thinking about this actually last night. You know, I mean, there's lots of listicles and articles and do's and don'ts out there. I'm sure many people might already be familiar, but a couple of big things for me would be boundaries. And boundaries, especially if we all have to stay home, we will all have different kind of a living arrangements and physical circumstances. Boundaries is also more than just about physical boundaries. There's also emotional boundaries as well, especially since we're talking about engaging with the news online, engaging with friends, and what I call all the online chatter about COVID-19, about everything else. Putting boundaries around what you want to access, what you don't want to access, what you want to talk about with your friends on the WhatsApp chat group, what you don't want to hear from your friends on the WhatsApp chat group. So those boundaries, I think, will be useful, something to think about, something to negotiate and renegotiate and communicate with those close to you as well. So physical, emotional, and social boundaries, if you will. So that's one big thing for me. The other thing that will be a useful tip for everyone will be routine. So sticking to your routine. So again, there's a bit of overlap with the point about boundaries, but routine could be along the lines of, you know, what did you used to usually do before all this hit us? As far as possible, try to continue doing them. And again, I was just thinking about this last night. One of the things that I've continued doing is I've continued listening to classical music when I work. That's something I quite often do when I'm working in the office. Now that I'm working from home, I'm still doing that. It's a sense of routine, a sense of familiarity as well, a sense of, you know, even though I'm physically in a different place, it reminds me that, you know, this is what I usually do. So two top tips, routines and boundaries.
Yung Fa Liao, the Executive Director of Ooga Chugga in Singapore, thank you so, so much for not only being with us tonight, but also being a support to us in the Asia region. I know you do send us tips of people who might be of interest for us. So thank you for being our roving correspondent based in Singapore.
Joyful pleasure, Matt.
I love that they're using WhatsApp as a counselling device. Sort of gets a bit of a different audience too.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of work a bit in this space, and I think that when we thought about counselling and about how we engage with people who might be in distress or just about how we engage with community, we've always preferred face-to-face, obviously. So there's all of those, that facial recognition, that facial picking up of cues is so important, having someone who you can see what their body language is, for example. But nevertheless, meeting through these other mechanisms, through WhatsApp, through Zoom, through FaceTime, through whatever else it is we're having to adapt to it. And I think we're doing it very well and probably doing things that we could have been doing before. So there is a bit of a silver lining in we're finding new ways of engaging with communities and building communities. But some people don't have access to these digital tools or may struggle to use new technologies. Even we do sometimes, don't we?
Yeah, even not having a good internet connection can immediately, you know, lock some people out of this new way of connecting.
Yeah, I was going to say that we are at risk of ignoring a big part of the community. You know, I mean, I know that we have been quite progressive in the LGBTI community, and a lot of physical places had disappeared already, and, you know, all this online apps, and so there's that, but there is a potential to ignore a section of the community, and people won't feel supported, and that might increase the rate of ill mental health, really.
And of course, the challenge is how long this goes on. The longer it goes on, you would think there is a greater need for more support services for looking out for each other.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there are definitely some struggles, challenges, and I think there are some things we can learn. What I am especially, though, concerned about is in places like Singapore or in other non-democratic countries, is how something like LGBT issues are going to be addressed and how communities are going to be scapegoated or treated at this time. And I think there is the potential for us to take several steps backwards at this time. We've seen that, you know, countries which already had an aggressive stance towards LGBTI calls for reductions in discrimination, then there's an opportunity. You know, the lockdown, the reductions in civil rights across their populations, it's the vulnerable populations that are going to suffer the most. And that is a real worry as this goes on. And we need to be calling that out and doing everything we can to say this is not an opportunity to discriminate even more.
You know, as power is devolved from parliament and constitutional processes, there is really a risk for civil liberty to be eroded and for things not to get as much publicity as well in the media.
Yes, I mean, you've only got to look at the nightly news, where 80% of the stories are related to COVID-19, it's really hard to get any other messages heard.
That's right, and I think we're a little bit guilty of that as well on Joyce, because I mean, we have to inform people on COVID-19. It's absolutely essential, but probably 90% of our news as well is that, and that's the risk, and that's something that we've seen in Hungary lately. So there'll be other stories like this, and I think we have duty to make sure that people get heard.
Indeed, and here in Australia, if you feel like you need to talk to somebody, you need a bit of support, don't forget Lifeline is there for you 24 hours, 13 11 14, the Beyond Blue website, and of course our very own Q Life for the LGBTI community, 1800 184527.
And Matt, you know that we've recently launched a new service, and we have a new web page on Joy. So if you go to joy.org.au/support, you'll find a whole listing of LGBTI-friendly support services.
Hi, I am Tim.
And I'm Ben.
From Hallam, Melbourne.
And you are listening to the World Wide Wave
on Joy 94.9.
To our guest tonight, Yang Fa Liao, the Executive Director of Uga Chugga LGBTI Counselling Service in Singapore. You can find out all about the great work that they're doing there at ugachugga.com. That's ugachugga.com.
On Facebook, we want to thank Mickey and Ashley and Keith, Kate, Nat, and a heap more who've joined us or interacted with us on Facebook this past week. And you can find that on W3Joy on Facebook.
And behind the scene, thank you to our podcaster, Peter, and our social media master, Dean.
We'll catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.